first words of Jesus from the cross. Come from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This statement from the cross sets the tone and sums up the entire Gospel. Here we have a picture of our Lord receiving the harshest punishment available. Punishment reserved only to those who were not Roman citizens. And yet he is still able to look out across the crowd with compassion. The crowd scornfully asked for Jesus to show his power, for him to prove that he is from God. And this he does. Not in the way the people want. Not in the way the people expect. And he does this not just in the resurrection, but in making this statement, Father, forgive them. We are included in the them. We have all sinned. We have all failed to do what we are supposed to do. And we have even walked this road by our own choice. Forgiveness cost. It cost the one who was wrong. On this day, we see our Lord from the cross offer our forgiveness. The second words of Jesus from the cross come from St. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Legend calls the good thief Dismas. In Dorothy Sayers' play about the resurrection and the crucifixion of Jesus, she says that Dismas answers Jesus not in a mournful or not in a repentant tone, but more in a self-pitying tone. That he looks, he hears the crowd, and he looks to Jesus more like one would if they were looking at someone who claimed to be Napoleon. And so almost in a sarcastic tone, or in a pitiful tone, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And yet, the good thief is shocked by our Lord's reply. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Of all the things that this thief may have stolen in his life, on this day, he stole a reward that he did not deserve. His time had almost ran out. And for whatever reason, he turns to our Lord to request mercy, a pardon. And that pardon is given. Here we see in action that statement that Jesus desires that none be lost. At a time when our Lord should focus only upon himself, at a time when any of us would be consumed with our own suffering and probably the injustice of it all, the love flows from our Lord that not only asks forgiveness on those who do not know what they're doing, but also to those who knew what they were doing, to those who asked for forgiveness. Forgiveness is given, even at the last possible minute. Love is shown to others, even as death is at hand. Third words of Jesus come from the cross, come from St. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. If we were able to go back in time and look around the cross, our Lord is almost totally alone. Standing close to the cross were his mother, his aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene, and John, the beloved disciple. That is all. Everyone else has fled. Judas has betrayed and then committed suicide. Peter has betrayed and is off somewhere mourning his loss. The other disciples, we do not know. We know that they will later meet in the upper room, scared, wondering what to do next. But at the moment, except for just a few people and only one disciple, our Lord is totally alone. Think of the time that could pass in a matter of a few moments, in a matter of a few minutes. Artists depict the cross to be high upon a hill, way up in the air, and those around the cross barely even standing part way to where the feet are. But in reality, the tallest the cross would be about 7 feet high. Jesus is there, face to face. All the history of a mother's love for her son is seen face to face with a dying Savior. And yet, in this, love continues to be shown. The last possession that our Lord had here on earth was His mother. As a good Jewish man, He is to take care of her. It is up to Him to provide for her needs. Here once again, from the cross, His attention is not focused on Himself, but upon those in His care. The crowd, the thief, His mother. Fourth statement of Jesus from the cross comes from St. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? These are the opening verse to Psalm 22. A psalm that we will not read in its entirety tonight, but one that I would commit to your reading, especially on this day. Scholars have said that Jesus, in quoting this one verse, calls to mind the entire psalm to His people's to the crowd's hearing. And it could easily have been focused on Jesus. Yet, no matter how we try to explain it, we are still left with a harsh statement. Here we have the second person of the Trinity, the very incarnation of God in humanity, the Word made flesh, alone. No matter how many people are at the foot of the cross, no matter how many people are at the crowd, the one who Jesus is closest to has forsaken Him. And our Lord is alone. Now, God did not forsake Jesus because He did not do what He was asked to do. God forsake Jesus because in taking upon the sins of the world, Jesus willingly separated Himself from the Father. A holy God cannot look upon sin, and sin cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. And while our Lord was not sinful, He did take every aspect of sin to be the sacrifice for it, and is there alone. But notice, Jesus does not say, God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Jesus still uses the words, my God, it at the same time makes it more personal and a little bit more hurtful. This is not some absent deity that our Lord is crying to. This is not some impersonal force. My God. It's a possessive word. But a possessive that means different from my car or my Bible. To say my God does not mean that we own Him, but that He owns us. And in pledging our allegiance to God, we follow what He asks of us. Here, love is shown yet again. Our Lord is willing to be forsaken by the Father to bring us home. Fifth saying of Jesus from the cross comes from St. John chapter 19, verse 28. I thirst. This is to show Jesus' true humanity. As if the cross and the process of death is not enough to prove the incarnation of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And here we have a very natural and a very weak pronouncement of need. Notice the irony, though. The irony in it all. We know from Scripture that God created all things through Christ Jesus. And not anything that was made was not made but through Him. And here we have the very Creator of water saying, I thirst. Jesus is also the life-giving water. Notice the number of times that we use water, both in the physical sense and also in the worshipful sense as well. A professor of mine once said, if you tell me what water means, I will tell you what baptism means. Could all of this be wrapped up in I thirst? At that moment of taking the sins of humanity upon the world, could our Lord, in a very real and powerful way, sense the thirsting of humanity for the very life-sustaining Word of God? I thirst. To me, it is one of the oddest pronouncements of all seven pronouncements. In each of the others, we see a clear picture of what our Lord has done, of who our Lord is. And then we have, I thirst. I don't know. This one is a mystery to me. Except we have the humanity of Jesus going through the pains of death, calling out His need. I thirst. The sixth saying of Jesus from the cross comes from St. John chapter 19, verse 30. It is finished. This comes immediately after His statement, I thirst. The work of atonement is done. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. No matter how shiny our crosses may be, no matter how polished the brass may be, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. It is finished. Very soon, the Spirit will pierce our Lord's side, and blood and water will flow. It is finished. The darkness begins to gather and the sun refuses to shine. The entire creation itself weeps at what has just taken place. It is finished. On the one hand, this is good. We can now have true atonement. But on the other hand, we join in the weeping that it cost so much. The price was so high, yet our Lord was willing to pay. It is finished. We are not the only ones that weep. We are not the only ones that mourn. If you follow the words of Scripture, as I mentioned earlier, the sun itself refuses to shine. The moon refuses to give off its light. The temple veil is rent from top unto bottom. Now some will say that the ripping of the temple veil was to show that access to God was now available. The wall of separation between the people and the Holy of Holies was done because it is finished. However, there could possibly be another explanation. Jewish custom of the day was in the cloak that you wore. If you heard any news, any bad news, the way to show repentance was to grab the collar of the cloak that you wore and rip it from top to bottom. Never forget, the Holy of Holies was the dwelling place of God. God's presence rested there. That is why no one could enter save on the Day of Atonement. It could be said that the temple veil was the cloak that God wore to keep His presence from the people. And at the moment that our Lord breathed His last, the temple veil rent from top to bottom. Creation weeps. The Creator weeps. It is finished. Salvation has been given. May we never, ever forget at what price. The seventh and final saying of Jesus from the cross comes from St. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Our Lord offers himself up completely to God. In making this statement, Jesus tells us that what happens next is entirely up to God. There were many individuals in Jesus' day claiming to be the Messiah. There have been many others since our Lord claiming to be the Messiah. The only difference is that only one was raised. Let us not lose the meaning of this passage. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Our Lord is saying that what happens next is completely and totally up to God. He does not have the power to raise himself. He does not have the ability to raise himself. He is dependent totally upon the Father. If God had not approved everything that Jesus had done, the easiest answer would have been to let the tomb remain closed. Yet, we know the promise of just a few days. Everything that God had asked of Jesus, He did. And our Lord could confidently say, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And our Lord blessed His work. And we have been granted forgiveness. And it is the hope of us that we can say that prayer as well. Especially at the hour of our death. But also each and every day. Father, into Thy hands I commit myself. And then one day, you will be able to confidently say, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. And know all the riches and the promises and the love that God has for us. O God, whose nature and property is ever to have mercy and to forgive, receive our humble petitions. And though we be tied and bound with the chain of our sin, yet let the pitifulness of Thy great mercy loose us. For the honor of Jesus Christ, our Mediator and Advocate.
Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace, both now and evermore.
Amen.